I got a little exercise I want all of us to try today. Don't worry, it doesn't involve jumping jacks. And some of you caught that as a joke. Good. All right. I see you smiling already. Now, those of you who aren't smiling, this is our exercise. I want everybody to smile. Show me your smile. Even if your arms are crossed, show me your smile. All right. Most of you are doing this. Thank you. Hold on to that, because that's getting our face warmed up for something we're going to do here in just a little bit. But while we're thinking about how we can smile, I want to ask you, where is our mission field? If someone were to ask you, where is the church's mission field, how would you answer? Some of you say everywhere. Some over here said outside the walls of the church. You know, these are both great answers. And I think all of you have an answer. But the easy answer is for us to say the least, the last, and the lost. We could easily say that we engage the mission field by loving God through loving our neighbor. And we do this through our feeding ministries, such as the Backpack Food for Kids, the Angel Food Pantry, the Wesley Kitchen, our Wednesday night live community fellowship meals, and a host of other ways that we give and feed the hungry. We could also say it's part of our homeless ministries, such as Hope for All, or our shower and laundry trailer, or our clothes closet, or our shelter, or our tents, or our sleeping bags that we provide. All this and more partnered with our feeding ministries is reaching out to those in need. We are reaching the mission field. We could also say it's any number of community events where we welcome the community to come and participate with us, such as Easter and Christmas, vacation Bible school, back to school at the pool, and even our Trick or Trunks Festival. I messed it up last year. That's why they're laughing at me. So it would be easy to say that our mission field is out there. Yet if that was our sole mission field, we would be missing a crucial link in following the Great Commission to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Because our mission field is out there. Yet it also starts in here. I mean, it is vitally important that we reach, preach, and teach inside of our community, that we raise up our children in the way they should go, that we teach our teenagers about Jesus, how to follow Jesus, how to love God, and how to be loved by God. And it's vitally important that we ourselves grow in faith and the knowledge of the love of Christ, and that we find ways to experience the grace of God as adults of every age. However, there is also an important mission field right here in our community. It is the mission field of our community, because there are people within us who are on the edges and on the margins, looking to be a part of our community, looking to get involved, looking to use their God-given gifts to make a real difference in this world, looking to join with us in making life better and you better at life through Jesus Christ. There are people right here, right next to you, looking for a place to call home and a place to be loved. And it's so important that we engage this mission field both passionately and compassionately. Because there are some among us who are here because they love God. And they're like me and they believe this is the greatest place to serve God. But there are some among us who are hurt and broken and looking for hope, and looking for a place where they no longer have to fear being hurt and harmed or shamed anymore. There are some people here because they're hanging on by a thread and they need to know that their life matters. And it's important that we embrace this community as our community, and that we do it with intentionality. You know, the difference between intentions and intentionality is I can have good intentions. I intended to do this. I intended to do that. But intentionality means I did it. And I made a conscious decision to do it with a smile, with a welcome, with love, and make a connection. And this is what we see taking place in our scriptures today with the new church there in Acts. See, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to his followers, something happened. They realized something, that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the power of God's Spirit was upon them. But it didn't just stay with them. It transferred them from one person to another by the way that they touched one another, by the way they were in close contact, by the way they were in community, by the way they shared God's grace with each other. And then in a short time, there was no longer simply a dozen disciples. There was no longer simply just a few hundred witnesses to the resurrection. There was a new, blossoming, blooming, overflowing community full of God's love and grace. And they were sharing it. See, the thing is, they had all grown up in the old religious ways, the old religious paradigm, that what was, that if you wanted to experience God, you had to come here to a temple or to a synagogue, that this was the only place you could experience God. And if you wanted to experience God, then you had to do it our way of doing things. You had to follow our rules. And many of the priests and religious leaders of that time made it very difficult for anyone who was not one of them to be a part of the community. They were proud and arrogant and snobbish and inhospitable. All the while, there were people crying out, longing for God. Yet the people who claimed to be closest to God and have the closest relationships with God were doing anything but sharing. And when Jesus came along, he showed a very different version. He showed intentionality. He showed radical hospitality. And he checked the religious leaders on their inhospitality. And then he taught us that God is a God of hospitality. Then later on, when those who followed him gathered together, they became known what is the church, which is really just a fancy way of saying the gathering of the community. But they got together and they experienced God and they shared that love of God and they began to explode with enthusiasm. Because people were not just welcoming others, they were welcoming the other. Even those who weren't like them. They were welcoming the rich and the poor. They were welcoming the good and the greedy. And it was a picture of God's grace. We see God's prevenient grace in this as the grace of God that none of us deserve, yet God makes it available for us to us before we even know who God is. It is God drawing us in. It's God extending God's arms out and constantly reaching out to us and inviting us in and bringing us into God's presence and showering us with God's love. Yet as they experienced that grace, it changed them into new people and into a new community. It was a transformative work in their lives where they no longer saw themselves in opposition. It was no longer us and them. It was no longer mine and yours, but it became all of us together. It became all of ours. And they shared with one another to the point that no one's needs went unmet. No one lacked food for their family. No one lacked clothes for their back. No one lacked shelter for their head. This was symbolic of God's justifying grace. The grace that is extended to us from the cross. The grace that transforms us from who we were into new people. People made in God's image, remade in God's image. People who are forgiven of our sins and our failures. People who are made brand new as children of God. And then when the people's needs were met, they didn't just stop there. They didn't say, hey, I've got mine, you go on your way. They continued to extend that grace out. They weren't content to be done with their own transformation. Instead, they reached out to other people. They expanded their community. And what they have, they gave. And what they gave, they could do, they did anything they could to help bring more people into their community. And the church generated this perpetual cycle of invitation, initiation, transformation, and replication. And it became an example of God's sanctifying grace. That is God's grace that helps make us more like God by God continuously working in us and with us and through us, proving that God loves us too much to leave us as we are. And as we become more like Jesus, we imitate Jesus more and more by the way we show love and generosity and hospitality that goes beyond our own interests and it extends from ourselves and from within here out to the world. And when the church embraced the centrality of hospitality that is found in the gospel, it grew like wildfire. People could only experience God's grace and hospitality through the people that already know Him. And here's the thing. God prioritized hospitality. Jesus prioritized hospitality. And as people who follow Jesus and who love God, we prioritize hospitality. And so we're going to reach out to our mission field that is both in here, that is right next to us, and outside of our community through radical hospitality. Jesus said, "The harvest is ready, but the workers are few." That means that each and every single one of us have a responsibility to participate, to stir up our passions, to build up enthusiasm, and to get out of our comfort zone. Are you ready for this part? We need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. We start with ourselves by letting this be something that breaks our heart. Before Jesus was crucified, he went outside the city and went up on the hill to pray over the people. And when he looked down, he broke down in tears and in concern because he longed to gather the people together in the community. It makes me wonder, do we long to gather the people together in community? Do we long to reach the people who have yet to know Jesus? Do we long to share Jesus with those who are sitting next to us who are hoping someone will offer and extend God's love and grace? Is this your heart? Because the truth is, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. You've got the love of God in you, and you have an opportunity to share that with the person next to you, as well as the person out on the street. The reality is, you hold the keys to the thermostat of the hospitality level in this church. Each and every single one of us. Me and all of you. And we need to turn that up. Statistics show that when people start looking for a church or trying to find a new church, they do so within 30 to 60 days of a life-changing event, such as they've just moved or they got a new job or they had a baby or maybe they lost a loved one or they've experienced a divorce or maybe they just got married or maybe they were diagnosed with a disease. But they come at a time when they're vulnerable, when they need answers, when they're looking for friends, when they want help. And we may not have all the solutions or answers to what is going on in their life, yet we have the grace of God, and we can share that with them, and we can show them the love of Jesus, and we can do this through radical hospitality. We can do it in such a way that shows them that this is the foundation that they can build upon, that they can call home, so they can know that we are a people who will walk with them on this journey. And here's another thing. Is that people don't have to come to church anymore to get a sermon or to hear worship music. They can watch it online. There's so many people who are watching online right now, or listening on the radio, or watching through the TV, and they're getting some of what they need, and I'm so thankful that they are tuned in. But here's what they can't download. They can't download the experience of you. They can't download you or your hospitality. They can only get that when they come and when they're in community and when they see you and meet you and experience you and when they receive the positive, grace-filled hospitality that you are called to show. And so as we all take this on as something that each and every one of us can do, that each and every one of us have the control to do, there are a number of ways we can start. But I'm going to give us one simple tool this morning. Does anybody want this one simple tool?
Sure.
Amen? Sure? Okay, let's do it. I was looking for some enthusiasm. Yeah!
Yeah!
We call this the 510 link. It's really easy. We'll have cards for you next week to carry with you to remind you, but the 510 link rule, it's for everyone to practice every Sunday. I'm not going to remind you to do it every Sunday, but it's something that I want you to take on to do on your own. And here's how it works. First, for the first 5 minutes before worship and 5 minutes after worship, we're going to look. We're going to use our eyes and we're going to look for people around us who might be new or whose names we don't know or people who are showing the social cues that they're looking for somebody or something or have a question. And when we see them, we're not going to run to our seat and sit down. We're going to engage them. We're going to go up to them. We're going to say something to them. And this is where the 10 comes in, because when we get within 10 feet, remember that smile we warmed up with earlier? Let's see it. We're going to smile, and we're going to engage them with that smile, and we're going to introduce ourselves. We're going to tell them our name, and we're going to ask them their name. And we're going to do more than be friendly, because people don't need friendly. They need a friend. So we're going to make a friend. We're going to get to know them. And then that's where the link part comes in. Because as we make a new friend, as we get to know them, we're going to share things about ourselves. We're going to ask them about their life. And then we're going to link them with someone that they have something in common. Do they like to sing or make music? Introduce them to Terry or the choir or somebody in the praise band. Woo-hoo. Do they like to cook or work with food? Then we can introduce them to somebody who helps in one of the feeding ministries. Yeah. Heard somebody woohoo over here. But if you're at a loss and you don't know what to do, then introduce them to somebody who you know is a leader in the church. Introduce them to one of the staff members. Introduce them to me. I love to meet new people. I mean, this is how easy it is. Terry didn't know I was going to pick on her, but I'm going to pretend that she's new. Hi, my name's Daniel. What's your name? Terry, so great to have you here. You know, what are you new to the community? What brought you here today?
Oh, I just had a strange experience that told me I needed to get connected. I needed to build a family, a community of faith. So.
Fantastic. Well, I am so glad you're here, Terry. Terry, let me introduce you to somebody right here behind you. This is Rita. She's had lots of strange experiences. So, I mean, something as simple as that right there. I mean, find a way to connect somebody with somebody else and then invite them. Invite them to lunch or to brunch or to Sunday school or to do something. Invite them to be with you on Wednesday night. But that's how simple it is. It's the 5-10 link rule. 5 minutes before and after service, especially after service. Get within 10 feet. Make sure you engage them. Smile. Make them feel welcome. And then connect them with somebody. Link them with somebody else. It's that simple. It's a place to start. And if this is something that we can get down, that we can practice every Sunday, then no one will be able to say that they came to our church and didn't experience the love and the grace of God through us. Amen?